Bueno. What does the new guy say? This has been my thought process throughout the whole, and then the craziness of this week. You know, what does the new guy say? A flood of emotions, thoughts going in several different directions. But I think overwhelmingly, just humbly grateful. Humbly grateful. I asked my daughter, just by way of opening up a conversation, what does the new pastor say to the congregation on his first Sunday? And she simply said, just share your favorite verse. That tells a lot about you. But also, they've heard you preach, but they haven't heard you. And so I was kind of stimulated some thought with regards to sharing with you on my first Sunday as your pastor. Some perspective on some things, obviously, through Scripture, communicating biblical truth. And then in light of all that's happened with Charlie Kirk and his martyrdom and things like that, humbly grateful that God in His providence is on the throne and He is fulfilling all of His purposes in your life and mine, in the life of this church, and in the life of America and around the world. There is nothing that is out of His jurisdiction. There is nothing that He has said, I don't know what to do. That's not in His vocabulary. And we're just humbly grateful that we have a God who is sovereign. And there's some mystery to that. There's questions that may, in this time and in this world, go unanswered, but we can rest assured He will see fit for our good and His glory that these things all happen. And so in light of this morning, I couldn't help but think, you don't have to turn there. My first thoughts were 1 Corinthians 12, where the body of Christ is gifted in all of the things that make up and help the church to flow and to minister among their community. And in there, it's verse 18, it says, God has arranged the parts. And in verse 24, it says, God has combined the members. And what I hope that we see here this morning is we're celebrating the wonder of God and in His providence, right? In your life and in mine and in the life of His church here in Little Genesee, we're celebrating God's providence. And what that is purposeful sovereignty. He is in complete control, and it's not simply power and might, but all of that with a purpose. And the things that you have walked through as a church and as individuals, and what Christy and I and our family have gone through has all culminated to this morning, where we, I hope, see that we are celebrating something bigger than ourselves. That there is a God who is purposeful in His control over all things, and He's brought us to this moment. And we celebrate. It's right for us to celebrate as we see the hand of God moving in our lives. So I simply have come up with 4 points from the new guy. Number one is foundation, right? Foundation. This Ephesians chapter 2, if you would take your Bible, please. Each point will have its own verse. I don't have a specific text, so I hope that you can follow along, and we'll give you time to turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. My first thought is foundation. And there's no other foundation, right, than Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:19. within the context, us as Gentiles have been combined as one with the Jews through the work of Jesus Christ. Us as Gentiles, we're no longer strangers and aliens. We're part of the fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And every Gentile here said, amen, glory, hallelujah, right? That we were estranged from all of that. Through the work of Jesus Christ, we have become one. And this is our focus here this morning in verse 20. We're part of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And this is my great prayer for this ministry here, that this is the place where people meet God. And it's built upon the foundation of the Old Testament and the New Testament, where Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And having a background in construction and carpentry, the foundation is critical. You know this, right? You can't build your house on sand. It needs to be built on the rock. When the winds and storms of life come, you have to have a solid foundation. And this will be part of the work here. We have a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. The cornerstone was so critical that it not only determined a right angle and the direction of the building so that it would have plumb and square, not only right and left, but also that vertical where it was built up. And everything aligned with that and was structurally sound and could withstand storms. Christ Jesus is our cornerstone. And what we're talking about is sound doctrine, right? This is our final authority of what we believe and how we're to conduct ourselves. And we will not sway from that, right? This is it. This is what we are banking and putting all our eggs in one basket. This is the Word of God revealed to us. It is a collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses. We can trust it. We can rely upon it. This is our foundation. This is sound doctrine. And if you can picture an iceberg, right? If you're on the water, all you see is maybe the tip of the iceberg, but how much is underneath the water, right? And so this is what happens is we grow right from our infancy and the early relationships in our lives. It generates or engenders, it's the beginning of what we believe. Am I loved? Do I feel secure? That home life engenders belief. Belief forms values. What's important? What do I consider to be valuable, of importance? And this is all underwater, right? Beliefs are formed at an early age. Beliefs form values, and values drive behavior. This is what you see above water. So if you're just simply going to try to treat behavior, and you can establish rules and make people conform outwardly, but you don't go to the root and core of those beliefs, what you've been taught, what you have learned, you haven't truly dealt with the core issues of an individual. Beliefs are formed with correct teaching in early relationships. And if the home life wasn't as good as it could have been or should have been, you have a Heavenly Father that has given us instructions and encouragement through the Word of God that allow us to have right thinking so we can have right living. Early relationships, or your relationship with Jesus Christ, engenders belief. Belief forms values, and values drive behavior. This will be the foundation of Faith Bible Church, the Holy Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. Paul encouraged Timothy, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." What God is requiring of me is to be biblically clear and to have personal integrity. Right? Watch your life closely, Jerry. Watch your doctrine closely, Jerry, what you teach and what you preach. And in persevering in them when it's popular, or even if it's not popular, persevere in sound doctrine. Because people will believe. They will form values, and that will drive their behavior. And part of becoming your pastor and the new guy here is learning what rules faith operates by, right? What are the policies and procedures? What are some of the legal documents that work behind all of what goes on here at Faith? Constitution and bylaws. So these are things that are a part of my work and the Board of Elders in keeping the foundation of this church secure and sound, from which everything else is operated through. So my first thought was foundation. Let's reaffirm and reassure ourselves that this is the Word of God, with Jesus Christ as our cornerstone. And the second thought that the Lord brought to mind was focus. Number two is focus. Look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Verses 17 and 18. Paul is stating his case before Agrippa, and he happens to be sharing his testimony for everybody to hear. Acts 26, verses 17 and 18. He's letting people know that he's been called by God to go to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And he promises that he's going to deliver them from both his people and from the Gentiles. In the end of verse 17, it says, "I am sending you to them." This is God's commission for Paul. And I submit to you this morning, this is God's commission for Faith Bible Church. I am sending you. What is he sending us to do? I am sending you to open their eyes. I am sending you so that they may turn from darkness to light. I am sending you so that they may turn from the power of Satan to God. I am sending you that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Wow. Oh, wow. What? This is our mission, right? This is our vision. And it's these things that clarifies the ministry of Faith Bible, to keep us essentially on purpose and on task. It's inspirational. It's future-oriented. We're looking ahead to confident expectation that He has called us and asked us to be a part of this great plan, and we're like, we can't do it! We can't! Can we open people's eyes? Can we take them from the kingdom of the darkness of Satan and bring them into the kingdom of the Son of God? Can we do that? No. It is impossible for us. But that's exactly where God wants us. Completely dependent upon Him, because this is His work. And He is doing it through us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then it communicates that very thought. 2 Corinthians 5, you may be familiar with verse 17, right? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. At the beginning of verse 18, what does your Bible say? All of this is from, this is from God. This is a God thing. Us coming together, this is our first Sunday together, and God is asking us to do the impossible. I want you to cause people who are dead to be alive. I want people that you come in contact with who are in the dominion of darkness, I want them out and brought into the kingdom of the Son of God. I want them who are justified to be sanctified. I want them to know hope. I want them to experience the life of Christ in their life. And we can't do it. It's God who does it. And it's all from Him, from beginning to end, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is a beautiful thing. God did the work of us who were once enemies. He restored that relationship that was broken and adopted us into His family. And guess what? He's asking us to do the same. I've not only reconciled you, now I'm giving you the ministry of reconciliation. Go into all the world, right? Make disciples of every nation. I'm going to be with you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I will be with you until the end of the age. This is God's work in us, but then it becomes God's work through us. That Christ, God, was reconciling the world to Himself, verse 19, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. God is entrusting with us the message of reconciliation. You can have your relationship restored with your Creator through your Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are His ambassadors. We're Christ's ambassadors. We are. Do you realize we are no more a part of this world than Jesus was Himself? Really? We are seated with Him in the heavenly realms. Our citizenship is in heaven, the kingdom of God. And we simply are living in enemy-occupied territory, foreign representatives to the kingdom from which we've been sent. Amen? This is who you are. This is who we are as a church. We are ambassadors, foreign representatives. This is not our home. We don't belong here. This is not our citizenship. We belong to God, the kingdom of God. And we represent Him in our local schools, in our community, in our place of work. This is a high and holy calling. You are on mission with God. You have a great purpose and a design and a plan. And you are critical to God's work in the sphere of influence of which He's given you, that He is making His plea through you to those around you, be reconciled to God. Don't you realize that you are enemies? You are by nature under the wrath of God. And your only hope and salvation is found in Jesus Christ. This is what He is asking. This is our mission. This is our vision. And guess what? There is no plan B. If this doesn't work, God's not going to say, "Oh, well, I guess I better try something else." This is it. This is the only plan. That God, through His church, is reaching those who He has chosen before the foundations of the world. He has given us good work, which He has prepared in advance for us to do. And as His church, we are not fighting for victory, we are fighting from victory. And with confident expectation, we will not fail. Amen? This is God's work. We are His people, and He is doing a work in us and through us. We're going to reach this region, whatever that looks like, Bolivar, Richburg, Little Genesee, Shingle House. This is God's work, and it's not a coincidence that He has brought us together. No plan B. We're it. We're it. So number one is foundation. Number two is focus. Number three is friendship. Number three is friendship. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. Developing friendships, investing in friendships with others with inside the church and outside the church ministry. It is my job to spend time to get to know the team, right? We're a part of what God is doing, and we're a part of a team. We're a part of the body. And developing friendships is critically important. I don't know about you, but it feels like we've just got married and I hardly know you. So over time, we get together, we share a meal, we have things like afterwards, a dinner, and whatever that looks like, it is important that we get to know each other. It's a partnership in the advancement of the gospel. And I chose 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9, because Paul and Apollos, they're on the same team. But the church was having an argument over them, and Paul writes here, what's Apollos? What is Paul? Listen, we're just servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered. But it's all about God. It's about God who gave the growth. Verse 7 says, so neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, really. We're just simply servants. We're doing what God has asked of us, but only God who gives the growth. It's all about Him. From Him, through Him, and then back to Him are all things. Verse 8 says, he who plants and he who waters are one. We're on the same team, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. Sound familiar, right? Christ as the cornerstone, Old and New Testament, and we are the building being saved and built up and put together for the advancement of the gospel. It's important that we develop friendships and become a part of what, through our us as a team, working for the advancement of the... And that's what Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippi, he thanks them in that first chapter for their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And Lord willing, just like a marriage, you and I, us as a ministry, until death do us part. Right? Until death do us part. This is God's work. We could probably say for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse. Right? This, as a family of God, as we build our friendships, and we strengthen one another, encourage one another in the work. This is the work of God. Foundation, focus, friendships, and the last point is simply faith. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. When we talk about faith, here is the encouragement. My brothers and sisters here at Faith Bible Church, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast. Don't move, stand firm, be steadfast, have your feet secure and sound and grounded. Be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We've come to this point together, separately, now brought together, and it is worth it. All the hardships, all the sorrows that you've had to go through, that we've had to walk through, all of the highs and lows in life has brought us to this point, and we have to continue steadfast, unmovable, and work for the Lord. And it will be, right? It will be work. You know this. It will be work. Work takes discipline and sacrifice. And we have a vision and a mission that keeps us on track and when a confident expectation that this is the work of God, not simply the work of Faith Bible as a people. We are a people dependent upon God. Chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, verses 13 and 14. Be watchful, or be on guard. I don't have to tell you this. Any great work of God will not go unchallenged by the enemy. Right? Any great work of God will not go unchallenged by the enemy. We have an enemy without. Certainly. Be aware of his schemes. Be watchful. He roars and prowls around, right? But we also, as believers, realize we have an enemy within. We have a flesh that wants to raise his head, get my own way, and we wrestle with that. But that's also being watchful, being on guard, that we have the selfish tendency and the sinful nature that we always got to make die. Make die. We go to war with our flesh. It is very real. And that will destroy unity among us as friends and the body of Christ. So be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is believing God does exist. But you don't stop there, because even the demons will acknowledge that. Faith is believing that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek after him. I believe he exists. So in so doing, I live in fear of God, which is living in reverence of God and in reference to God. I order my life. I establish priorities. You remember, the belief establishes value, and value drives behavior. God does exist, and he does reward those who earnestly seek after him. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men and women of God. Be strong. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 16, let all that you do be done in love. Right? Be done in love. We are completely dependent upon God. Faith encourages us to seek the Lord in prayer and look to him for wisdom and strength to carry out his work for his glory and our joy. In Matthew, you don't have to turn there. I'm thinking of Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus encourages, when you pray, you don't have to let everybody see you, right? That's your reward. That's what the Pharisees do. And when you fast, I am so hungry. I've been fasting. That's your reward. People notice. Jesus encourages us to pray and to fast. Where? In the secret place. And it's there that I will see you and I will reward you. Right? So, here's my prayer for us as a people, that we would know the secret place. That you would know the secret place. And you don't have to tell anybody. That your pastor would know the secret place. And I don't have to tell anybody. And we will see the work of God reward this ministry. That you and I, individually, in our own quiet times, and I'm in the office and just begging God to move and work in this area and in this church and in this community, nobody else has to know that, right? Again, if we want to use the illustration of an iceberg, what happens here on a Sunday morning is what people see. That's what people see. The beautiful worship, the songs we sing, the interaction with each other, welcoming new people. This is what they experience and what they see. What they don't see is all underwater Monday through Saturday, when you are on your face before God and you're asking him to move and work as only he can move and work. And I can't cause the blind to see. I can't raise the dead. The work of the ministry is not to me and to us. It's God, through you, through us, and to your glory, will you move? Will you work in Bolivar, Richburg, Central School? Will you save my marriage? Will you help me, Lord, in my friendships and in this community? That's all underwater. People will not see that. But they will experience the living God when they come here. Because you and I have been on our face before God, fasting and praying that He would do a new work, a great work. From my perspective, if you want to hear from your pastor, a successful church is not line item budgets. It's not all of the classrooms being downstairs full of kids and people and ministries. Please, understand me, nothing is wrong with those things. I pray God would do as He sees fit with multiplying our numbers, so to speak. But my heart is, and I believe it's the heart of God, that a successful church, if it could be measured, would be measured by the purity of its people. Right? I truly believe that. God can do whatever He wants. Fill these chairs, fill the downstairs. May we have to pave the field across the road. He could, whatever He wants. But my heart, this is my heart, this is my prayer for me and for you, is that we are a people of God. And what I hope to bring to Faith Bible Church to what God is doing here, I simply want you and me to see Him clearly and to treasure Him truly. See Him clearly. Treasure Him truly. If I was to sum up what I hope that however long I am allowed to stay here, my ministry would be that through Jerry's preaching and teaching, we would see Him clearly and treasure Him truly. We trust the Master, not the method. This is His church. And He will do as He sees fit. May those who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave bring them to believe, and the life we live inspire them to obey. May those who come behind us find us faithful. Let's pray. Our Lord, our Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful. We celebrate the providence of God this morning. What you have done and what you are doing and what you will do in the future. Lord, we are grateful for the impossible task that you have entrusted to us. We are completely dependent that you would do a work in us and through us. So Lord, we shore up our foundation. We sharpen our focus. Lord, we build our friendships in and outside of the church, and when by faith we just simply trust you and we seek you with prayer and fasting. Help us to know the secret place, to see you clearly, treasure you truly, and it will be to you be all glory, honor, and praise. And all God's people said, Amen.